Chapel Service, October 15th, 1985.
This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad. We're delighted to welcome you for this special chapel service today. It's a special opportunity for many of us to be here on the campus at this particular time. I welcome our trustees here today. We're here for our semi-annual meeting, and we're delighted to have all of our trustees here. At this time, I'd like to ask our trustees to stand. Would you please stand, all the trustees? We welcome you. Thank you for your presence today. Also, there are a number of special guests here in connection with the dedication of the Shaw House. We welcome you. And other special friends, we're delighted to have all of our people present today. Especially as we consider our theme of worship, the call of God to effective leadership, as we pay tribute to our President, W. Randall Lally. I'm delighted to have his father, Mr. Roscoe Lally, here with us today. Mr. Lally, we welcome you. Mr. Lally is here sitting with Mrs. Lally. Welcome as well, Lou. God's Word calls us to worship. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through 17. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Effective leadership manifests itself in every area of life. And I thought it would be very appropriate today, therefore, that we ask members of the various areas of the seminary life to share in brief testimonies concerning effective leadership as called by God for Randall Lally. First, representing the faculty, Dr. Tom Bland, professor of Christian ethics and sociology and a member of this faculty for 30 years and certainly in a position to be able to share a testimony concerning effective leadership with Dr. Lally. Then representing the students, Ben Taylor, president of the student council, a third year MDiv student. Representing his family, his brother, Tom Lally, who is an area missionary in Western North Carolina. Then representing the Board of Trustees, Mrs. Christine Gregory, trustee from Virginia. In that order, we'll ask these persons to come and share in these testimonies of tribute.
I am persuaded that the best history is biography, and I am moreover persuaded that the greatest resource this school has consists of the human resources who have been a part of this place from the first day until now. These do not show up on the ledger sheets, but the men and the women who founded, who sustained, who staffed, and who continue to work in this place are really the heart of this institution, including the generations of students who have come and gone. To be sure, we can say with Paul today that the treasure of the gospel comes to us in earthen vessels. And we celebrate the many splendored grace of God as this has been poured out so richly upon this community, and especially and particularly in the person we come today to honor. A dozen years ago, in the course of events, it became necessary for the trustees to elect a new president. The chairman of the Board of Trustees wrote letters to each member of the faculty, and each of us was given an opportunity to make a suggestion. We did not know, of course, what others were saying, but I know that I and some others in this faculty suggested the name of the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Winston-Salem for consideration as the third president of this seminary. The trustees, in their wisdom, elected Dr. Lally president in 1974, and these years that have come and gone have revealed the wisdom of that choice and the very providential coincidence of the will of the Holy Spirit and of human wisdom illuminated by the Holy Spirit. Those of us who knew Randall and who still know him felt that he would be a person who did bring special equipment through his Christian commitment, for there was no second guessing of the fact that he was above all and is above all a loyal and obedient disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He also brought to this task vocational equipment consisting of an exceptionally good mind, a superlative academic record, and a responsible record of experience wrought out in pastoral ministries in three states and in very effective service on the executive committee of the Southern Baptist Convention. He has brought to this work some distinctive personal qualities. He has incredible energy, and I hope that someday in the future when somebody looks at this portrait of a fairly young president and then sees a president who has grown old in the work, will say, "Who was that?" And we can say, "That was President Lally at a younger day." He has demonstrated in his relationship with the faculty an ability to listen to us. There are now more of us who have come since he came than were here when he came, but those of us who were here when he came will always remember that in the first month of his time here, he sought us out one by one and gave us an opportunity to talk with him about our hopes, our dreams, and about the work that we were undertaking together. He has an ability to share leadership, and then he has a readiness to make and to implement decisions. For all of these gifts which Randall Lally has brought to the work as president of this school, we thank God and we express our affectionate esteem to him today and the hope that there'll be many more years of continuing and even more effective leadership out ahead.
When I first came to Southeastern nearly 3 years ago, Dr. Lally addressed the new crop of students in a worship service that had been planned as part of the orientation process. I remember in part what he said to that incoming class on that January evening in 1983. As he stood in Appleby Chapel and welcomed all 82 of us to the adventures of seminary, Dr. Lally said something to this effect: "You and I must do that which God demands of us, because we are God's plan A, and he has no plan B." In the subsequent months, and now years, that I have spent as a student in this seminary, I have come to see the many aspects of God's plan A in the life and work of Randall Lally. He has shown a selflessness in leadership which has made him a servant for Christ in the truest sense of the word. He has expressed an integrity and dedication to fairness which has won him the respect of students and the admiration of the community. He has stood for personal freedom to the extent that he grants to everyone the latitude to think and discern for themselves, a freedom of choice, if you will, so that others might be permitted to grow, to explore, to seek, and to find. I have seen in him a man of vision, standing at the helm of this institution with a keen understanding of where we have been together, so that he might better ascertain a clear purpose and direction for the future. And through it all, I have found in Randall Lally a true friend, a man professional enough to fulfill his administrative obligations and yet personable enough to know the students and to care for them individually. In essence, I have found God's plan A for Randall Lally to consist of much more than just being president of Southeastern Seminary. I have found underneath it all servanthood, service to our Lord. And on behalf of the student body of this campus, I would like to say a heartfelt thanks to God, because in this divine scheme of which we are all a part, God's plan A, our Creator saw fit to cross our paths with that of Randall Lally, and we as students have all been better for it.
I'm reminded of a little card which says the speaker needs no introduction. And the man said, "I certainly hope so, because I've never heard of him. I've heard of Randall Lally all my life. In fact, he was there when I got there. And he's been there all of that time." Leadership, how do you go about developing it? Randall, do you remember, "One ship goes east, another west, by the self-same wind that blows? 'Tis the set of the sail and not the gale that determines the way it goes." Those, if I remember correctly, were the opening lines of your speech as valedictorian in Sampson High School in Sampson, Alabama in 1949. But to be honest, that sail was set for us by some very important factors. Factors like home, church, school, and the mill. Home and the family, it was there where we were introduced to the Christian faith by parents who lived their faith before us. We entered into an experience that was already well-founded. We learned about the Bible by seeing it lived in the lives of our mother and father. We learned about stewardship, remembering the tithe being put into that white purse in the top of the ship robe, out of the first offerings or the first money that came into the house, not the leftovers, and then regularly it was carried to church. We learned about missions from those countless prayer calendars and those study guides. We heard over and over again that a good name is better to be chosen than great riches, and to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and to lean not to our own understandings, but to acknowledge Him, and He would direct our paths. I wonder how many times we went to sleep hearing the piano being played of something like, "Give of your best to the Master, or must Jesus bear the cross alone?" We learned firsthand what it meant to walk humbly with God by seeing it demonstrated. Then in the church, Randall, we were blessed there. Our church accepted us. They showed us love in action. Our congregation believed that a minister should prepare, and we had all those Southern men. They had a great respect for the Word. But thank God they had an openness to grow by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. They believed that the goal was Jesus Christ is Lord. We were blessed. They taught us and we learned well those great Baptist distinctives of the priesthood of the believer and of soul competency, of the autonomy of the local church and the joy of cooperation and the authority of the Scriptures. But then in school, I remember something I learned the first day in school. I learned I was not to call you Baby Ran anymore. Mother was a teacher, and boy, that was hard. She knew that we had homework. I'm glad we went to that small town school. We didn't have all the science labs that somebody else had, but we sure had a closeness among the teachers and the students. Do you remember Dr. Esther Steele? I remember she graded your science paper 5 times before she gave you that A. She just didn't believe in A's. I know. I reminded Mom and Dad about that a number of times. They knew how Dr. Steele was. There was also that deep impression of a mother who felt that a call to teach was as valid as a call to preach. You had to care for people to close out a career with the largest contract of $3,800 and several years paid for teaching with IOUs from a school board. And from the mill, Randall, we learned a great deal from that white-haired man that sits down there. We learned about the dignity of work. We learned how to apply the golden rule to a feed mill. We learned about integrity and honesty in the people service business. We learned what a Baptist deacon was really like. And Randall, you don't know this, but 3 weeks ago, after 29 and a half years of being an ordained Baptist preacher, I was elected a deacon. I'm going to find out now what we really do. First agenda, we're going to investigate the pastor. I know that for sure. We were blessed. Yes, there were some important things that happened that I'm sure that all of those things go into the making up of what determines leadership. Where did it start? I'm convinced that the sail was set when we got there. Thank you, brother, for keeping the faith and your dedication to pass it on. I believe with all my heart that it's worthy.
There are 3 primary elements that are important to trustees in relationship to the chief executive officer. The first is their orientation to the institution which they serve, the agenda which is continuing and varies from meeting to meeting. But perhaps the most important of them all is the man with whom they work. Thomas Peters, who is a managerial consultant and has written the bestseller, A Passion for Excellence, has said that these chief executive officer type people are people whose life role is not being a cop, but being a cheerleader. The key to a good manager, he says, is facilitating other people. I remember very well the very warm September day on which I came to this campus for orientation. There were two important things which happened to me that day. One was that I was made to feel that I had a contribution to make to this seminary. And the other was, he's giving me more information than I can possibly absorb in one day. I've never seen such openness, so much information. Not a question went unanswered. But every part of that orientation was one of openness and honesty and integrity. The second role, which I very much appreciate the chief executive officer of this institution doing, is to helping the chairman of the board to make a tight agenda. Don't waste my time. And they never do. Many times we leave feeling that there are many more hours that we would like to have spent, and yet getting home knowing that we very much appreciate the fact that we didn't spend many more hours wasting time. But the agenda is not that which is cut and dried, but rather it is that which concerns every individual on this campus, faculty, administrative officer, student. Time after time, I have seen this president as he has gone to bat for the left wing, the right wing, and those who yet do not know what their wings are. And oftentimes, if we are really honest with each other, that includes all of us, because we really do not know sometimes where we want to go. But I think the thing which is the most outstanding thing which any one of us could say about Randall Lally is his quality of love. I remember very well the search committee to which Dr. Bland has already referred asked Randall Lally, when they were interviewing him about becoming the president of this institution, what do you have that you think would be a contributing factor to the institution? And without hesitation, he said, I can love people. That's a thing which we often say lightly, but to carry it forth is something which we should never take anyway except seriously. Love does not come from man. It's a God-given quality. And truly the apostle in writing the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians knew what he was talking about when he said, let me show you a more excellent way. For every trustee who preceded me and for those who shall follow after, I think we can all say, Randall Lally knows that God, Christ-like love, which was intended to be shown to mankind. We are thankful for him.
Peggy Hames, as a little girl, grew up in First Baptist Church, Winston-Salem. She accepted Christ there, surrendered to the call of God to ministry there under the leadership of the pastor at that time, Dr. Randall Lally. She is an MDiv graduate, 1985, of Southeastern Seminary. I've asked her to write for us a litany of gratitude, and she is coming now to lead us in this litany.
Please stand and join with me in our litany. Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and the leaders have complete authority. We thank God for those leaders who have served in this place.
For those whose vision, dedication, and labor brought this seminary into being, and for those who nurtured it through times of growth and change, we are thankful.
On this day, we are gathered together to express a special word of gratitude for Randall Lally. For his love for God's people, we are thankful.
For his strong and able leadership and the servant of his community, we are thankful.
For his accomplishments of the past, his work in the present, and his vision for the future, we are thankful. We pray God's richest blessings upon Randall Lally and his family, both on this day and in all the days to come. You may be seated.
In the March board meeting of the trustees, we authorized a portrait of our president, Dr. Randall Lally. We secured, we believe to be one of the most outstanding artists of this day anywhere, Mr. Joe King. In interest of time, I will not give you a long list of credits for Mr. King, but suffice it to say, in painting Dr. Lally, one portrait would not contain him. So we're delighted today to have this outstanding artist who's going to come and share, and as he does so, in explanation of these portraits, I will unveil them. Mr. King.
Thank you, Dr. Horton. It was a pleasure indeed to do a painting or two paintings of Dr. Lally. I've known him several years, 11 years when he was in Winston-Salem at the First Baptist Church, and we certainly enjoyed him very much there, and we really hated to see him leave. But after 11 years there with the people in the congregation and the people of Winston-Salem, I think he thought 11 years was enough, and he finally gave up and came to Wake Forest. We have there on Fifth Street, kind of the, what you might call the Avenue of Churches. While he was there one late afternoon, a car pulled up, and there's our maintenance man mowing grass there. He'd been there probably 30 years, and someone in the car yelled to him and said, "Can you tell us where Christ Church is?" And he stopped a moment. He said, "Well, let's see, this is Dr. Randall Lally's church, and the next one down there on the left, about two blocks, that's Dr. Mark Depp's, and the next one down there, so that's Claude Howell's, and I don't believe Christ got a church around here." Well, it was indeed a pleasure, as I said, for Randall to pose for me. He came to Winston-Salem, and I did the painting here you'll see in a moment. And the Board of Trustees commissioned me to do this painting. They said we wanted a portrait of Randall. They didn't tell me how. One day I was sitting in a restaurant and I got this idea for painting that might be a little different, because he is a different man. He's not just an ordinary fellow, as you know. So I didn't want to do an ordinary portrait. I thought what would be right for Randall and really portray him like he should be portrayed. You know, a lot of painters who do portraits, and they expect a little criticism here or there, so they anticipate that and they get ready for it. One little trick they do is to make that sitter a little cross-eyed, so it's obvious. So when they come in, the parents or whatever sit, they immediately see this thing of being cross-eyed. Well, they're elated. They say, "Wait a minute, he's cross-eyed." The parents say, "Well, yes, you're right." So it builds their ego up. They feel superior. So a few minutes, corrects this. He's fine. Everybody's happy. So I didn't have that trouble here at all with this painting. There was no criticism of his eyes, nose, mouth, not a thing. His ties, everything, no criticism of his necktie. Wasn't any criticism whatsoever. So you'll see what I'm speaking about. And Charles, if you'll unveil the painting. Everybody loved this painting except the Board of Trustees. They thought it was excellent, but not for Southeastern Seminary. So I thought, well, perhaps we should do another one. As you see, they couldn't criticize his expression, his mouth, You know, some people, well, I think it's John Singer Sargent, said the definition of a portrait is a likeness of a personality with just a little something wrong with the mouth. So, no criticism is mouth. So, we did this one over here. Okay, Charles? Now, I say we because Randall worked on it with me. He wanted to be a little younger, a little more handsome. So, when we finished it up, I gave him a few brushes of paint, and he finished it. So, if there's any criticism, you'll have to heap this upon Randall. Now, I thought Randall was very popular here until last night. We met downstairs and had unveiling these two portraits for a presentation. Well, we're having another presentation up here this morning. And I tell you now, I'm going to stay over in Wake Forest until they are accepted. Now, if this doesn't happen by tomorrow, I'm going up to Elon College and see what they think about it. But thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
And thank you so very much. What a tremendous job. I'm going to ask Dr. Olin T. Binkley, President Emeritus of Southeastern Seminary, to come with a prayer of dedication at this time. Dr. Binkley.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, maker of heaven and earth, we draw near in reverence to worship thee. Quicken in us a sense of thy presence, that we may be still and know that thou art God. We dedicate to thy glory and to the service of thy people these portraits of President W. Randall Lally. We are grateful that Dr. Lally brings to his tasks as a Christian educator an exceptional capacity for coherent thought and creative work. We thank thee for his wise administrative leadership, his participation in the advancement of theological education in this country and in other lands, and his faithful and effective proclamation of thy true and lively word with integrity, clarity, and spiritual power. In these moments of dedication, we submit our minds to thy truth, open our hearts a little wider to thy love, and devote ourselves without selfish reservation to thy will. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us, yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Well, all I can say, and hardly that, is that it's an awful big show for a fellow who has feet of clay right up to the navel. Thank you for letting me hear it and enjoy it while you've endured it. My brother is right. There was a word on that night, 1949, I'd almost forgotten it, about ships sailing this way and that way. Today, as I sat there, I thought of three ships. that sail through leadership in a flotilla. The fellowship is there. Koinonia just could be the biggest word in the New Testament. And if leadership is anything, and particularly if leadership on this campus means anything, it means that we discover deep down right early that we belong to each other because we belong to Christ. We're out in the weather together, I have been heard to say, and I really do believe that, and that just makes it all right. The fellowship sails with leadership all the way. I have on my desk a little caption given to me by a dear friend, Arthur Hearn, early on in my ministry at Winston-Salem. He said, "I must hurry, for there they go, and I'm their leader." Truth of the matter is, before anyone can be a leader, at least another one, and sometimes more than one, must agreeably and faithfully and with some delight be a willing follower. The revolution, the rebellion that would come from leaders who try to lead and nobody left to follow would make everybody a chief and nobody an Indian. And no work really gets done by that. Another ship that always sails with leadership is partnership. I have been accused of being a kind of seminary edition of some of Peter Drucker's literature, participatory management. I'm guilty as charged because I truly do believe that partners do work together better. And I ask you early on in 74 if you would be willing to come alongside, joining head and heart and hand in a partnership, and you dared say, "Yes, let's have a go at it." And it's been a delight up to now. And I must say to you, I'm not finished yet. And these portraits may grow a little ragged before it's all done, but we are gifted at this place with a lot of people who are willing to be in the fellowship, within the fellowship, truly expressing partnership in order to make leadership sail. Thank you for today. I'll never forget it. And I don't think my dad will, don't think Lou will, and my daughter who came in, and all of us together. Thank you very much.
Stand. Let us pray. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.